Hello listeners, and welcome to Travel in Motion's podcast series. As an airline consultancy focused on digital retailing, NDC, and distribution-related topics, we were interested to find out how vendors in this space are supporting airlines in these difficult times of COVID-19. In this series, we talked about airline distribution. Where are we headed? Throughout September 2020, we spoke with Jim Davidson, Chief Product Officer of Acelia and former CEO of Fairlogix, Sean Cockery, the CEO of Datalex, the Chief Commercial Officer of OpenJaw Technologies, Brian Porter, as well as with Surain Adyantaya, SVP of Pros, and Andy Kitt, Principal for Travel at SAP. In today's final session, we managed to have all five at a virtual roundtable to summarize our podcast series and to provide an outlook. The session is moderated by my colleague, Daniel Friedli.
So, gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us today in this final session and this panel to close off our podcast series. Let me just ask into the round, are you seeing a light at the end of the tunnel, Brian?
Hi, Daniel. Yes, we are. I think just in terms of when we last spoke, I think that it was very unclear as to how things were going to pan out. I think we still don't have much clarity, but I do think that we are starting to see a pattern for recovery. I think for ourselves, we've certainly seen China leading this recovery. And I think that what we're starting to see is that China is already approaching pre-pandemic volumes. So I think that once we actually have a vaccine in place and clear government regulation around travel restrictions, I think that there's a lot of pent-up demand in the market, and we'll start to see that turning into a recovery.
Yeah, Daniel, this is Sean here. We see something very similar. We're fortunate that we have some customers in China, and September numbers are very encouraging. Obviously, government has incented travel. There was an extended holiday. So I think it shows that if governments put a plan together, particularly, you know, in Europe and in the US, you know, if health and safety is looked after, and there's assurances there, then, you know, travel will return. Personally, I think in the first lockdown, we all kind of felt maybe we could live like this. I think certainly in Europe with the second lockdown, I think we're all just scratching to get moving, you know, so I think there'd be huge pent up demand whenever this stabilizes.
Hey, Daniel, Jim here. I'll let you know in a week after the elections. But no, I agree with Brian and Sean. I do think we're seeing some, I'll call them mini lights. I look at what's happening in U.S. domestic, and some of the domestic travel here is actually doing quite well. International and corporate is really the one that I think until we have the vaccine in place and some confidence, I think that will come back. On a personal note, I've been flying quite regularly lately, and I have to say that's part of it is first time I was quite concerned, and then I actually did it. And then, things are a little different, certainly in terms of how I look when I get on an airplane. But other than that, it's actually quite a safe experience. So I think part of that is people will start to come back when they actually do it. That's my two cents on that.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Let's dive in. And what we've done is we've picked a quote from each of your podcast sessions that we recorded together. And I'm just going to pick up on that quote and address the person that we interviewed with that quote and see how that plays out today. So, Andy, I'm going to start with you. And you said in your session, you said the majority, if not all airlines, have a digital transformation program. But what we've seen in retail is that some companies have accelerated what was years into months. So tell us, is this acceleration now ongoing? And have you seen first successes over the past weeks since we last chatted?
I think yes, Daniel. I mean, I think, and it's not just associated to retail, actually. I mean, from our manufacturing and B2B sales has definitely been more efficient actually under the lockdown, and I don't know whether or not that's because business execs aren't traveling, you can actually get decision makers around the phone far easier on a Zoom call, and therefore B2B has been more efficient. And I think actually the recent Pros Outperform conference, Anders talked about that, actually share a common customer in Saint-Gobain, who've seen an incredible increase in commerce over the last few months since the lockdown. And actually, I was doing a bit of research this morning and looking at Google that looks at actually worldwide, just the general search of how do I buy online, how do I do commerce online, that's just literally doubled globally. And just from where I am in the UK, we've seen in April, I think something like 30% of all retail was consumed online. So I don't just think it's retail. I think it's happening across all industries. And I think, fundamentally, that's because we're all finding new ways of working. Employees are at home, so therefore we're having to find, like we are here, right? New ways to collaborate, new ways to work. And actually, what do I mean by the acceleration? Well, actually, as businesses, we've had to, break down walls, break down barriers, break down processes to actually work in a new way. And I think that it's the same for, businesses. They have to find a way, and they are finding a way, because ultimately, when you're put into such a stressful situation and a tight situation like that, I think we find a way. And we find a way through breaking down barriers and silos and data and processes in a way that we seem to struggle to break those down in normal operations. So, we are seeing that happening. We are seeing, more increases in retail. And I sincerely hope we're going to see that, in this kind of what I would call the second wave of recovery for our industry. We've kind of gone through the, to reduce my fleet, reduce my resources. I can still, make sure I can still compete and fly. And then the second phase of recovery is now I need to look to save every cent of cost and generate every dollar of revenue. So I think that's the phase that we're in now.
In terms of that transformation, are the others seeing this transformation happening and picking up now as well out of this, especially as probably many airlines and vendors like yourselves have kind of stabilized into the position where we were at, and now we can think going forward and looking forward?
I mean, I would say, Daniel, yes. I think that, look, if this group doesn't believe that, digital transformation and retail transformation is not ultimately part of the solution, then there's something wrong. I mean, I think we all believe strongly that the pandemic has accelerated directionally what was already there. And digital and retail are two of those directions. I would say that I think airlines are looking for change. I think they want to make big bets, but they don't want to bet the company either. So I think incremental transformation and doing it in executable steps is going to be important, because it can't take a complete risk of transformation either.
Picking up on that around risk, I'd like to move on to the next quote, which comes from Brian. Brian, you said reassurance has become the watchword for recovery. And I guess that's kind of the opposite of risk, isn't it? The reassurance aspect. So where are you seeing and finding the reassurance?
Absolutely, Daniel. I mean, I think for me, fear and uncertainty means friction. And I think that travelers want to be informed and empowered about what to expect at each step within the customer journey. So whether this relates to distancing in airport spaces or sanitation and HEPA filters or PPE requirements, to even what the refund options and what the cancellation and booking procedures are, I think that all of these provide assurance to the customer in terms of actually making the booking. And then I think past the booking, I think travelers are also uncertain about having to quarantine at their destination, about any potential changes in border restrictions that might occur between the date of booking and the date of travel. And ultimately, for me, it's about understanding the customer. So taking a retail approach and identifying how to remove friction across the customer journey. As I mentioned earlier, I think we've seen from tactical activities from our European and North American customers that there's still plenty of pent-up demand. And from what we've seen from our Chinese customers, the combination of reassurance, clear government policy towards unrestricted travel, as well as innovation to drive consumption, has brought booking volumes to near pandemic levels. I mean, just taking a look at our customers, by September this year, our Chinese customers were at 80% of last year's volume. And then in Golden Week, at the first week of October, we saw an increase of 3% on travel activities compared to the same time last year. And I think this has been driven through innovation. I mean, we saw China Eastern innovate and pioneer the unlimited offers, which helped the Chinese market to effectively consume the capacity that was being delivered back into the market with a lot of uncertainty. And I think that this certainly helped stimulate a recovery in that market.
Sarang, can I just ask you, you know, to pick up on that keyword of reassurance? I mean, you have, you know, with PROS and the revenue management capabilities that you have, you see probably a lot of things happening on the RM side, which helps predict or look into the past on how this is happening. Do we see any of that reassurance reflected on the pricing components and on the demand components?
Yeah, for sure, Daniel. First of all, RM still is very important, and pricing strategy is very important and relevant to the airline world. Certain things such as day of week patterns, seasonality patterns, they all exist in very much the same fashion as before COVID. But of course, the underlying demand patterns have changed. So what airlines have done to sort of gain more clarity and trust into where the market is going is working with us and whoever else they partner with to use real-time data together with their historical data to get more peace of mind and reassurance into where things are going. And this real-time data can be governmental data about openings and closings and new regulations. It could be actual click data on their website, et cetera. And that's all part of a new, broader, real-time approach airlines are approaching us with. So it's very interesting. And in keeping with Brian's comments, it seems that there's been a big increase in direct inquiry with airlines through their own websites, et cetera. And it does go back to reassurance that the traveler wants to go where they have the greatest trust and transparency in their purchase. And who better provides that reassurance than the airline? So we have heard anecdotally from our customers that there's been a surge in direct inquiry and purchases because of that increased trust and transparency of the traveler to know what they're buying, what the change rules are, how refundability works, as well as the travel requirements with testing, et cetera.
I think, Daniel, just to make a point there, totally agree with Sarang. And I think, Brian, to your point about reassurance, that's, you know, I remember when Boris asked me when we did a podcast, you know, what was the big learning? And I think, you know, the big learning is talk to the customer. Mm-hmm. Now, it might not be able, that doesn't necessarily mean talk to them physically, but it means talk to them digitally, and it means learning to talk to them digitally. And certainly, you know, to your point, Sarang, that's where, you know, we at SAP have been working probably hardest with our airline customers is in that area of experience management. So using some of the Qualtrics products to test customer sentiment, to ensure that even frontline staff in the airports or the crew actually understand the latest rules and regulations so that they can impart that to the customers. So it's about having the latest information, but it's also being able to, as I say, digitally talk to the customer. And I think that's really paving the way for reassurance that once the governments then lift some of the border restrictions, customers and travelers alike will feel comfortable to travel again. And we'll see you know, quite a sharp bounce back once that happens.
Yeah, Daniel, I'm sorry, yeah, this is ahead, Jim, real quick. I just think you guys both bring up two really good points about how the the engagement with the customers is changing to be more real time, and the data requirement, and certainly a number of airlines I've talked to, they're looking at data elements much more seriously, I think, than they have before in terms of how to have that conversation with the customer. Things are rapidly changing. I mean, I think what you saw the airlines when they generally eliminated the change fees, that was a reassurance play in my view. It was giving the customer the ability to take a bit of a risk, and knowing that they're uncomfortable, but also giving them the option to change that. The data requirements around that are significant. So CERN's point about, you know, maybe there's some gaps or leakage in the traditional RM, but certainly in the real-time RM that really affects the conversation with the customer. I think that is really where we're all going to see ourselves looking and moving forward. So anyway, yeah, good, really good point on that, guys.
Thanks, Jim. And Jim, I want to just continue with you. You know, coming into this podcast before recording, you said, you know, you've flown already quite a few times. Sort of reflecting on your experience with flying and taking your quote from the podcast, which was, you know, the concept of retailing is proven to be resistant even to the pandemic. The concept is still trying to match those services that are best equipped to the needs of the flying customer. How would you, as a flying customer now, you know, what are those needs now? What has changed?
Yeah, well, again, I think we've already talked about it. It's the care that the airline is taking of me. And that is reflected in some of the offers. There's reflected in how communicated with. And this is the success of retail. And we've all talked about it, that you have to engage with the customer where they are mentally, that now it's about reassurance, it's about security, it's about information, because things are changing daily. And if a customer, I believe, feels like that they're behind that information curve, it's going to thwart their efforts to do what they want to do. And so this is why I believe that the retail engines, the business rules that we all kind of support out there in the marketplace are being used, frankly, more than they were, I think, when people were trying to look at solely as a revenue generator. And I'm not saying that's not an important piece of it, but they're now looking at is how I can create that safety and security. I go back, I'm a student of Maslow in my previous life, that if you don't have some of the basic needs met around safety and security, I'm never going to get to the point where I'm really comfortable. The airlines, I think, are using their kind of retail focus on that now. And that's why I think, again, the engines that we all provide are being used in that way. And I think that's a testament to the airline community of really how they're looking to engage.
So, Sean, if I can just point in your direction and say, you know, in terms of what Jim just said, that these retailing solutions need to support the customer engagement, right? Much more than the selling right now. It's supporting the customer engagement. You know, is that something that you're seeing as well from your customers coming to say, we need to help to engage with our customers differently, be it for the servicing, be it for communication?
Yeah, I mean, I fully agree with what Jim said. And I think the latest data that came out yesterday, I think it was from Harvard or whatever, that said, you know, flying is safer right now than going to your local food store. And so I think I think that's established. So it's the before you fly and after you fly. And that's where online digital retail technology comes in. If we can reduce the amount of touch points and friction, and that gets to, you know, touchless interface, including in the airport and that. And of course, you can use that, you know, digital technology for messaging, whether that's safety or whatever. JetBlue, one of our customers, for instance, is now offering, you know, testing that you can book online using, as it happens, our system in terms of, you know, getting a test kit at home before you fly and you know, reassuring yourself and everybody else. So yes, is the answer. They are clearly using the technology that's there.
Hey, Sean, this is Jim. I read that same article and I couldn't help but think that maybe that's a case for food service back on the airplanes because safer. they took the food service off. Maybe they should put it back on.
That would be good.
Mm-hmm. Actually, what's really interesting is when you look at the area of self-service, right? And I think that it's probably an area where we as a not just generic travel industry now, right? Not just airlines, but hospitality, where I think that we are constrained by, you know, some of the core reservation systems that we've had in place now since the 60s that, you know, weren't designed for a digital world. And so therefore, the question is, how do we deliver that self-service into the hands of the customer? You know, certainly the hospitality industry is looking at this very, very hard right now. And we're working with customers on that side because, you know, for the guest, they want minimal, if not, you know, zero touch, if you like, with a physical presence. So it's about, you know, the pre-check-in, the check-in, the bell, the, you know, luggage services, room services, booking, almost that complete self-service. And I see that as a real need in our industry so that actually as consumers, we are so used to having the power of data and the power of information real time in our hands. And I think for me, that has to be the big acceleration now in our industry to really encourage customers back on board. But once we get them back on board, make them feel as though they're in control in terms of actually when do I make changes, when, you know, when do I get the latest information, what are the latest changes, where do I have to put a mask on, just put more information into the hands of the customers. And I know, you know, all of us work in an organization where we have platforms that enable this kind of self-service. I'm interested as to why we don't have more of that out there in the industry right now. And actually, does it take a pandemic to accelerate that? Or what is it that's going to take us to use the technology that's already there?
Yeah. So that's almost going back to Jim's quote, you know, where we talk about the needs of the flying customer. That's not just products, that's communication, that's services, that's self-servicing, the ability to have control, right? So it's all of those things. It's not just selling a product or upselling a certain feature or function. So Sean, I'm gonna move on to you now. Your quote, I actually really like this. You know, it was sort of reflecting on where we all are, saying this is not a time for gain. This is a time for really underlining your value add to your customers. I mean, it was, you know, when we talked about it, is how can we help our customers who are already struggling? You know, they don't need more struggles to fight with a vendor and argue. And so it was really about that. So how has that been going in the past couple of weeks or months since we last chatted, Sean?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, when I said that, you know, it means exactly as I said it in terms of that it's not a time to take advantage. I kind of go back to the old adage that says that a customer that has an issue and is well looked after, you know, becomes more loyal than a customer that never had an issue. This is a time to underline, you know, capability and loyalty and all we've done, which, you know, I think everybody here has done the same thing, is we've gone and asked and listened and obviously adopted some quick changes, you know, for our customers. One is clearly around flexible payments. You know, vouchers have become a new currency. We had to adapt to that and make that available. The fee waivers that Jim spoke about, you know, JetBlue came out very early with that. So we, facilitated that with them. And then, you know, last week we launched a digital configurator tool, you know, which allows our customers to, you know, make copious changes in nanoseconds. That's, you know, creates that flexibility of choice, which is needed today without going back to code, you know, helping cost and time. So, this is a time for all of us, I think, to, you know, show how technology, you know, creates transformation, change. And in all of my career in the tech industry, it's been, you know, an emancipator of change. And so I think we're all very fortunate we represent tech companies.
And Serene, I know that when you and I chatted, we kind of went into the same direction of kind of what can we do to help our customers. And you had a couple of good examples of how PROS was, you know, I think making available more or better or different data than you typically would. Is that something that's been, you know, really sucked up by the airlines to be used now to help them in the recovery?
Yes, Daniel. It's an interesting time because every airline has its own internal initiative to track what's happening in real time. But we found that it's really varied in sophistication across the airlines. So we created a COVID task force at PROS, where we married together our science team and our professional services team to take a lot of different real-time data sources, third-party data sources that we didn't traditionally utilize, including governmental regulations, some OTA information, et cetera, and marrying that together with the airline information to give more visibility in what's happening into each of the markets they're working in, and providing a dashboard so that the airlines can utilize this on a day-to-day basis. This has been extremely well-received. Those airlines that already had a nice, sophisticated dashboard have integrated this with what they've been doing, and others have used this as a primary sort of a strategic component of how they approach entering new markets. And I think the airline world and all the participants in this call have worked closely with the airlines to help them really understand how their business is evolving, because things change day to day. It's a very dynamic world out there.
Yeah, yeah. And Brian, I just want to touch on the Chinese market. Just, and I'm, you know, obviously reaching out to you just because of your ownership through TravelSky and your many customers that you do have in China. Is it the same there? I mean, are the Chinese airlines looking at the same things? Because I think the situation is a little bit different. They have a lot of recovery in the domestic, as you mentioned coming into this call, but they do also still have the challenges as everybody else does on the international. So what is their position on this?
Well, Daniel, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think initially during the early stages of lockdown at the beginning of the year, I think that the key things that our Chinese customers were looking at were self-service capabilities and really taking a look at how they could automate refunds, you know, and I think that was a big challenge. And I think that certainly stimulated an acceleration of initiatives in those areas. But I think that, you know, what the government's done in China has essentially driven a domestic recovery, but international sort of remains repressed for a while now. You know, and I think that much like the European and the North American markets, you know, it's a waiting game currently.
Very good.
I will say something additional to that. I think one of the things that we've seen a lot of commentary about, Daniel, is the Zoom effect, you know, and I think the elephant in the room, you know, is potentially, you know, what impact this is going to have on corporate travel, you know, and I think we've seen a lot of doomsayers out there effectively saying that, you know, that COVID-19 is essentially driving sort of structural behavioral change, you know, within the consumer base for the travel market. But I do think that, you know, what we are going to see coming out of this is that remote working is going to drive a change in the way that people travel. I think that, you know, we've all experienced this, that now anywhere we have a wireless internet connection is potentially our office. So I heard a quote earlier today basically saying that the workforce is now untethered. And I think that this is going to be a new driver for air travel. I mean, I've always disliked that portmanteau leisure just because it sounds so odd, but I do think that that's going to become the new normal.
With the concept of pleasure, meaning that if I do travel, I'm going to enjoy myself also by adding a day on the beginning or on the end to look at the area I'm in. So taking more advantage of business travel. But I'm not sure. So let me ask some of the others. What do you think is the future of business travel? I mean, will it pick up, or is it something that now it's going to change because we've all found ourselves together on team meetings and Zoom meetings like this?
I think it will, but it'll be different, I think, as Brian said. I'm not sure about the leisure extension. I think that's a possibility. But the other thing I think will happen because of Zoom and Teams and whatever, we will know the teams better globally. So we can skip the introductions and all that kind of stuff. So I think the meetings will be shorter, sharper, and I think business travel will be more specific and concentrated. But instead of going for 10 days, I think people will travel for 2 days for a meeting.
I tend to agree with Sean. I do think there'll be some little nuances. I don't know about the blending of business and leisure. I'd like to think that that would be true. But, you know, 40 years of travel tells me that's not the case. But I do think that internally, Sean makes a point. I mean, we just merged with Excellia, and we haven't had a face-to-face meeting with either the investors, the bankers, the Excellia management team, or the employees. And I'm now working in a product capacity where my team is in India and Madrid and Miami, and it's all been done remotely. I am itching to get in front of those people and interact. And I just, you know, I think we can have extended communication, but I actually think corporate travel is going to bounce back with a passion. I could be wrong, but I think we're going to see the corporates traveling like never before.
I'd agree with that, Jim. Yep. 100%. I can't think of a year in my corporate history where all the corporates I've worked for, where there hasn't been a travel ban or a travel freeze for budgeting purposes. And that the CFO and the finance department work out that actually the revenue numbers still keep coming in, even though we're not traveling as much. So we've done it before. I think it will change. I think it will be more targeted, but I do think it will bounce back because it always does.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree. And what I'd add is, I think, at this point, the business world has become used to what Zoom meetings are and virtual conferences are. And we've all come to realize that there's a big missing element. A lot of the value of business travel are the unplanned interactions. You know, when you go in unscheduled meetings, you break out, you have dinners. That's when a lot of the breakthroughs happen and relationships are built. And frankly, a lot of that gets lost in Zoom culture. And we've heard this from multiple people, and our airline clients have also reflected that they believe, for this reason and others, that business travel will rebound.
I agree, Sarah. I'm going to steal that if that's okay, because the breakthrough moments outside of the planned don't happen and can't happen on this. I think that's an excellent point. And and as I say, thank you for allowing me to steal it.
Very good. Sarain, I'm gonna stick with you for just a moment. Your quote that I took was the key to success for airlines is to be nimble and flexible. Things happen. Well, something did happen here, right? And are you seeing the airlines being nimble and flexible and continuing to be nimble and flexible?
Yes, we are seeing the airlines increasingly become nimble and flexible out of necessity. First of all, when we speak to airlines, day-to-day things change. Government regulations change. And it's not only by a country, but it's by the country of origin of the traveler, et cetera, testing, quarantine. And the airline is very often required to track and monitor all of these pre-boarding even. So airlines know that there's a lot that can happen from one day to the next. Second, bookings happen much more last minute today than ever before, and cancellation rates are much higher last minute as well. And that certainly has caused airlines to think differently about booking patterns and how they adapt to them. Now, all of these things, of course, have demand pattern implications, but they also have internal implications in the airline organization where the revenue management department, network planning, scheduling, fleet planning, they all have to work much more closely on a day-to-day basis than ever before. As we all know, they've been siloed in many airlines for many years, And that really doesn't work much anymore. So there has to be a real-time communication and collaboration between these groups within airlines. And we're seeing that like we've never seen before.
Yeah, this is one that I'd even like to add on. You know, even the airlines that we're working with in different projects and in different capacities as well, it's just their struggle is right now that either they don't have all the people available all the time anymore, or not as many people available. People have to do more than one job, cross-functional, and the airlines that we work with are adapting quite quickly into those new roles that the people are getting stamped upon them. So I think that most of the airlines are doing a very good job in trying to deal with what is unprecedented, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Andy, picking up on that, you know, because the focus of SAP, you know, and you mentioned it in your podcast, and is really sort of on that customer centricity part, right? But now, and you talked about the whole self-servicing aspect and the communication aspect a bit earlier, and if the customers, or let's say if the airlines don't have the same amount of people to help, be that at the airport, be that in the call centers, you know, that becomes even more important, doesn't it? That whole aspect of the automation and the self-servicing.
Well, I think it does, yes, to a degree, and I'll come back to that in a minute. But yeah, I mean, I think that the necessity for doing things from a self-service perspective is also around automation of business process. So specifically around, you know, refunds, changes, exchanges, coupons, being able to exchange a coupon or a voucher for a flight or for a change or for bags or whatever it might be. I think that's doable, because I think it's possible to do that. I think you talked about, you know, being able to stand up resources and so forth. I wonder whether or not there's a bigger issue that we have that might play in there, which are actually some of the inherent business processes that we've got, that we've had in our industry for many, many years. And the question I put out there is, do we need to become as airlines more agile in terms of the products and services that we put out there, right? So we know that retailers and other industries look very closely at the products and services they provide. And if they're not delivering profit or they're not on a sell, then they change those. Now, if you think about that from our perspective, how might that transmit? Does that mean, therefore, that actually that the inherent flight schedules that we have that have been pre-planned 6 to 9 months in advance because of the constraints we have around slots means that we have to have a very rigid planned service offering and the products that we offer our customers? But what if in a more nimble world we need to be able to look at that and stand up a flight or pull down a flight or change a different route? A lot of the processes that we have specifically around airports and slot constraints and processing and delivering of the schedules, and because of GDS and mass distribution, you know, the schedules are out there months in advance. I wonder whether or not that those business processes are going to come and really be more of an impact than actually being able to find the right people in the right place at the right time.
Thank you.
I think if I could just add to that, Daniel, I think it's you know, it goes noted that, you know, the two industries globally that are most affected by the pandemic are retail and airlines. And we've an opportunity to take one, I suppose, and digitize it to kind of help the other, right? And I do think that when all this settles back, customer flexibility is going to be critical. This long-term planning in terms of either business or leisure, I think, will go away. I think it will be more spontaneous. And I think it would be more rich in terms of data and what decisions a customer might want to make at any point in time. An emergence of, you know, availability, you know, price, weather, whatever, right, will come together.
Very good. I'd like to slowly close off our session here. So what I'm going to ask is, if you needed to give us one motivational sentence or one word to sort of keep us going or keep your staff going or keep the listeners going through the next couple of months until things pick up? You know, what would it be? And Jim, I'm going to start with you.
Yeah, well, if it would be one word, it'd be listen. And it's really this concept that at Excellia, we're trying to really get a listening campaign going. So I would say listen, because we've all said this today, things change by the minute. And if we're not listening, we're going to miss it.
Thanks. Sean?
We're a tech company. Tech is the panacea.
Brian?
Handing control to the customer and remembering that complexity is the enemy of control.
Andy?
Be where the customer is.
And Serene?
Be flexible. Be open to trying different things, testing ideas, and pivoting.
Very good. Thank you very much. So, gentlemen, only in a pandemic can you get five fierce and friendly competitors onto a Zoom or a Teams call and have a really good and creative discussion like we just did. I have to say, I enjoyed, you know, the last couple of weeks with the podcast. We've gotten excellent feedback, and I think this is a nice way to close it off. I'd like to thank you all for your participation and your organizations for shoveling away time to give you to join us. And we definitely hope that we can do something like this again soon, but face-to-face and in-person somewhere. So thank you very much. And with that, we'll close this series.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel. Thanks, thank Daniel. You, Boris.
I look forward to meeting you all sometime as the new member here.
Thank you.
Travel in Motion thanks you for listening. And we hope you found this series of podcasts interesting. If you have any questions or needs supporting your digital strategies or transformation, feel free to get in touch via our website, LinkedIn, or via info@travelinmotion.ch. That is info@travelinmotion.ch.